Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Please open. There's Bibles in front of you underneath if you'd like to follow along, please. Luke 24. I'm going to read the first three verses and then from verse 13 to 35. Welcome again to Calvary Chapel, Secret Harbour. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. It's great to see families out for Easter. Some of you are wearing your Easter best too. It's wonderful to see that. Luke 24, verse 1 to 3. Now on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now drop down to verse 13. Now behold, this is two of the disciples, two of them, were traveling that same day, the Sunday, to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So they're leaving Jerusalem, walking away from Jerusalem. And as they talked together of all these things which had happened, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near, is resurrected from the grave, and went with them. But notice verse 16. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. They didn't recognize who he was. They thought he was still dead. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk?" And notice, "and are sad." Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today's the third day since these things happened." He's been dead 3 days. "Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him, they didn't see him. And he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And then, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, Emmaus. Jesus said," well, I'm just going to continue on. But verse 29, "they constrained him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is far spent.' And so he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, broke it, gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up at very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon.' And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." The title of this morning's message, "Is There Any Hope?" And "Is There Any Hope for Me?" Remember Helen teaching a year one student, Spearwood Primary School, and her coming home and relaying the story of this kid who she'd asked the question to. And he said, "Don't ask me, I'm dumb." And Helen said to him, "You're not dumb. Why do you say that?" "Well, my dad says it all the time. He just says I'm dumb. So I am dumb. So don't ask me." That kid in year one was being wired by his father to look upon himself as one who had no hope. You're hopeless, kid. He's five. You're hopeless. Have you ever felt God has failed you? I'm sure in this room, some of you have felt that. That God has let you down. That he's not come through. When your plans and what God should have done in your plans, and this is what he should have done, and he didn't do it. Would it be a surprise to you that the majority of Jesus' disciples, his closest followers, those who knew him the most, experienced only discouragement? They were let down that Jesus had not come through after their first Good Friday. It's interesting to note that the very first thing that Jesus did after his resurrection, that first Sunday, the day of his resurrection from the dead, Jesus spent a great deal of time following up on the discouraged, the shattered, those who thought all hope had ended with his death. This morning, maybe you're the discouraged one, Easter 2018. You're hanging this morning by the thinnest of threads in your believing, or perhaps maybe you this morning, you've come because you've tried everything. This is your last stop. Well, maybe I'll go to church for Easter. God, I'm going to give you a chance. This is your last gasp. And so if there's really a God, speak to me today. Show yourself to me today. Can you do the impossible if you're God? Or perhaps maybe you're just here, even though you're internally convinced nothing can be done. I experienced that as a chaplain with the police, and I see people whose lives they think were just done. Looking into the window of someone's eyes, a murder that occurred in Dawesville, a couple had been fighting, the child was between them, the child being killed in the violence of the attack. The husband sitting down and the mother, her eyes, I looked into her eyes, there was no one there. All hope was gone. Maybe that's you. You're in defeat mode now, you just live. And you get up and do things which you've got to do. But you're in defeat mode. You expect nothing good. It's the first Easter Sunday morning, and Jesus finds Mary in the garden tomb. We know the story. She's weeping, fearing her Lord's body had been stolen. Jesus appears to Mary and tells her to tell others, especially Peter, the impossible had happened. Though crucified on a cruel cross until he was pronounced dead by the Roman soldiers, tell my followers, Mary, I'm alive. Tell them you've seen me. There's hope, powerful hope. And then Jesus went personally, found Peter, and then he appeared before Thomas and said, Thomas, look at the holes in my hand, and here, you want to put your palm through into my chest. But in our text this morning is the story of two other disciples, both deeply discouraged, doubting, and now without any hope whatsoever. How can we say that? Well, the text tells us clearly. Is it not a strange contradiction that on the day of Jesus' resurrection, there was initially such despondency that all hope was gone with all of Jesus' followers? These two disciples felt as though Jesus, their Lord, had personally let them down. You can hear it in their words, verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Notice the words they're using. Pick up the tone. Indeed, besides all this, today's the third day since these things happened. He's been dead now for 3 days. That's why they left Jerusalem. In their minds, just when they thought they knew what God was doing, just at that moment in Luke 24:19, Jesus says to them as he appears to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed." Man, he was a great prophet. He did awesome things before God and all the people. But look, he's dead now. You see, they thought he'd take over from the Romans, establish his kingdom. Instead, he is arrested, falsely tried, he's beaten, he's crucified, and he dies, and we're left bewildered and empty. Everything went wrong. It's all over. Back last Sunday, we're praising and exalting. The crowd was in his hands as he rode in on Palm Sunday, and look at now. And with his death died any hope we had. It's gone. It's all gone. And Jesus has died. That's the end of it. First point is deferred promises. These two disciples had walked with Jesus during his public ministry. They had personally seen the amazing effect Jesus had had on the people. Hear their words. We'd read them out. But they too had seen him arrested. They'd seen him beaten. Everyone knew of his crucifixion. And they know he was buried. Joseph and Nicodemus, they took the body. And they thought Jesus had come to bring in his kingdom there and then. And all the joy of that day as they shouted, "Oh, Hosanna, Hosanna." Remember the crowd said, "Save now, save now. Now he's come." But then things just went haywire. Everything fell apart and he's just been snatched away and killed. Worse still, he didn't fight back. He just let them take him. It was like he was a lamb going to the slaughter. He just let them lead him away. Why didn't he do a last-minute miracle? I mean, he'd fed 5,000. We were there. He'd walked on the water. He'd raised Lazarus. Why didn't he come off the cross? Why didn't he avenge himself? No, he just suffered and died. He just hung there on the cross. Worse still, they had heard from those who'd been at the foot of the cross that Jesus himself had said with his last words, "It's finished. It is finished." From his own lips, he'd said, "It's finished." Oh, how we miss, you and I, what God is doing so many times in our lives when we have given up hope. It doesn't matter what you say, nothing good is coming. We become like a black hole. You've ever experienced being with someone like that? Everything's going wrong with their lives, and so you try to encourage them and say, "Well, this is what we can do, maybe this." And they're not listening with ease. So they let you talk, and then they just go, "No, but you don't understand. This is going," and it's just, "Our car's broken down. He's lost his job. And now his mother's sick." And so you try, maybe we. And so they don't listen because everything is a black hole. It's just sucking in everything that's bad. Great to see you, James. Jesus had not let them down. They simply misunderstood the reason for the cross. For according to God's plan, everything had gone perfectly. We look at Easter and go, "Oh, how horrible." But from heaven, it was the work of God. It was his plan to the hour. Listen, God is never, never, never not ruling and reigning and in control. Isaiah 55:9, the prophet says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. For in the darkness and confusion of what appeared to be deferred promises, Jesus was bringing salvation to a world that was lost and held captive by fear, the fear of death, the dread of death. The Bible says God never sleeps nor slumbers. He is still working, and his best work is always done in the darkest hour, in your darkest hour. He is the God of miracles. I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that this morning? Second point, delayed answers. These two poor souls had lost all their passion for God. They were walking away. They'd thrown the towel in. The problem was not so much in their heads as it was in their hearts. They felt. That's why the Bible doesn't say the just shall live by their emotions. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you live by your emotions, I tell you, you're an emotional wreck. You're up good one day, you're the nicest person at work, the nicest person at home. Then the next day, you're the grumpiest, the angriest, the lousiest person to be around. Because it all depends on the rise and fall of your emotions. You make choices by your emotions. Oh, go and buy this because I feel good. Oh, why did I buy that? It's a dangerous way to live. And these two, they felt that God had failed them. The question is, had he? I like to deal with truth. I need the truth. You need the truth. Is this not what we all at some time believe? They had failed to remember what Jesus had told them over and over and over. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and he be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. They had had the script given to them. They just had to listen. Oh, yeah. Jesus had spoken of his resurrection over and over, and they had failed to remember what he had said. How often, parents, do your kids go out and do something, and you go, didn't I tell you? How many times did I tell you? You see, you and I are just like the kids to our Heavenly Father. He tells us and tells us and tells us. He repeats it over and over and over. You know what he repeats over and over more than anything in the Bible? That he loves us. Yet you and I don't think he does. So now they were heading away from where Jesus had told them to be after his death. He said, wait for me in Jerusalem. They were leaving Jerusalem. And now they were walking away from the cross, which is always the wrong direction, thinking their hopes were lost. Don't walk away from the cross, for that is where and how God works. It all comes back to the cross. When you walk away, you know what you turn to? Nothing. And you are left to yourself, and that's a terrible place to be. Sadly, these two disciples were too like many people today. When God delays his answers to their prayers, those two wanted to put as much distance between themselves and that cruel Roman cross. That was the end of things. They didn't know what God was doing. What's God doing in your life? Is there a storm happening in your life? You know what? God has allowed you to row into that storm because he's changing you. And you don't want to be the person you are now. And God says, okay, I'm going to answer that prayer. I send you into a storm. Why are you sending me into a storm? I want to love my husband more. But he's not very nice to me. I'm allowing that. Because I want you to learn to know what love is. Love is loving someone. It doesn't depend on them being nice. Well, my kids, they don't listen to me, and I've just cut them off. No, you can't cut them off. God doesn't cut off his kids. He's the prodigal father. He loves them. He doesn't condone what they do, but he is always there as a father. Perhaps you, this Easter morning, you include yourself with these two disciples. You feel that God has let you down. You've prayed for a certain thing and he has not or did not answer your prayer the way you wanted. And so we spit the dummy. We throw the toys out the cot. Well, you didn't answer my prayer. And then we wonder why our kids behave a certain way? So somehow you've concluded that God does not care about your problems and needs, and that now that you doubt whether he even loves you, and you've lost all hope. Is that you? Remember Jesus' delay to the request by Mary and Martha? Lazarus, our brother, is sick. You got to come. Hurry up. He's dying. He's really ill. Jesus, you got to come. Jesus got there 4 days after Lazarus had died. What's the deal with this? Martha, in her grief, said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Wow. That's stinging words from someone who Martha had cooked meal after meal for. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Martha, in her grief, made the same mistake of interpreting the love of Jesus by circumstances instead of interpreting circumstances by the love of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us in John 11, verses 5 and 6, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So the fact of the matter is that Jesus did love them, but he waited. Because there was something in God's plan that said, 4 days, after 4 days, get there. The Bible tells us, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. But it's hard for you and I to see through eyes filled with tears. Martha's eyes were filled with tears. Her heart was filled with doubt due to Jesus' delay. You and I, our hearts get filled with doubt when we pray and God isn't answering straight away to what we think should be happening now. God, you should be doing this now. When hardship, tragedy, and death assaults our lives, we often think like Martha, well, if Jesus really loved me, why did he let this happen? God's delays are to be interpreted in the light of his love for us. God knows what he's doing. His timing is perfect. Too often we make the mistake of interpreting God's love, and it's a social gospel today, preached in many churches. We make the mistake of interpreting God's love in the light of our circumstances. Things are going good. Oh, God loves me. Things are going bad. Well, God doesn't love me. That's wrong. That's not biblical fact. These two disciples misunderstood, as we often do, God's purposes, sometimes even falsely accusing God of not caring. Have you ever done that? Yes, we have. Mary and Martha made that mistake. So these two disciples on the Emmaus Road, if only they knew what God had done on the cross and what he was now doing. For remember what Jesus did. When he did arrive in the midst of a family savaged by the pain and sorrow of death, Lazarus' death, take me to the tomb. But Lord, open the, I pull him, remove the stone. But he stinks. His body is decaying. He's dead. He's been dead for 4 days. Remove the stone. What did Jesus bring to the sorrow of that family? He brought life. He called Lazarus back from the dead. Delayed answers, deferred promises, thirdly, dismaying circumstances. What did Jesus do to reignite these two disciples' hearts? What did he do to let them know he really loved them? As they walked on this road, Jesus drew near with them and joined with them on the journey. They didn't know it was him, verse 16. Sometimes the same is for you and I. You know, we go through trials and sorrow and disappointments. We feel completely alone, as if no one cares. Our hope is all gone. If only we could see. If only we knew you are never alone. He is always, always with you. Jesus asked them, what are you talking about? So sad, so passionately, so despondent? Why did he ask that? He knew. He wanted them to talk, and they did. And then verse 18, one of them said, "You don't know what happened?" Imagine Jesus saying, "No, what things?" And he did. Unfortunately, they had based their beliefs on what and when Jesus should be doing. "Well, we had hoped it was he," verse 21. They still believed Jesus was a prophet from God. They said that. They still believed Jesus was a miracle worker. They said that. If not the Messiah, well, that's why they worshipped him as he came in Palm Sunday. They still loved him and spoke well of him, but he's dead. What good's a dead Savior? But their hope was gone. Jesus, in showing his love for these two, then gave them probably the greatest Bible study this world has ever spoken. In verse 27, it tells us. And he took them through the Holy Scriptures on every passage, every sign and prophecy pointing toward the coming Messiah, his death and resurrection. In the book of Genesis, he said, "He will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." He would have spoken to them. When Abraham offered Isaac on the altar, Jesus would have said, God said, God himself will provide a sacrifice. Stop, Abraham. In Exodus, the Passover lamb, the blood sprinkled on the door and the post and the lintels was a shadow, the coming of the Messiah. In the book of Numbers, the Messiah being the rock where fresh water would quench their thirst, you'll be satisfied once and for all. In the book of Joshua, he's the captain of the Lord's army, he's our protector. In the book of Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. And they're listening as Jesus takes them through the Bible on every passage about him, his coming, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. The journey came to an end quickly. Something had happened along the way. The disciples' hearts had become reignited. A flame of hope was fanning again. And Jesus in verse 28 says, "Well, you guys, see, I'm heading on." And he feigns to continue on his way, and they beg him to stay for dinner. Why did Jesus do that? Now, Jesus really wanted them to invite him in, but the invitation had to come from them, and he wants the same from us. Jesus, God, will never force his way into your life. He has given you a choice. That's why in the book of Revelation it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice," and I'm wondering, are you hearing God speak to you today? "If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will eat with him and he with me." You see, God will stay out of your life unless you invite him in. The two invite Jesus to come and eat with them. He wanted to restore broken fellowship. What better way than to have a meal? And he sat at the table, and he, in verse 30, took the bread, blessed it, and broke it. They thought, "Man, I've heard that prayer. Remember the 5,000? Remember the 15,000? He prays just like..." And then, as he breaks the bread, it was at that moment that the resurrection, in all its power, came to these two despondent disciples' hearts. Because I believe, it doesn't say that as he broke the bread and held it up before the Lord, there was two gaping holes in his palms. Gaping holes, because Jesus, remember, still bore the marks of the crucifixion, the only man-made things we'll ever find in heaven. He displayed them to Thomas. "Thomas, put your finger in the hole." The two disciples saw straight through Jesus' palms, wrought iron nails, 5 to 7 inches long they were, 13 to 18 centimeters, with a shaft of 1 centimeter, much like those railway spikes. They make a hole, and they left a very large hole, big enough for a man's finger to pass through. And then Jesus disappears, verse 31. And they said to one another, "Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way?" And notice, very importantly, while he opened to us the Scriptures, while he opened to us his Word. Jesus made their hearts burn when he talked to them. G. Campbell Morgan on this passage says, not in their questioning concerning him was the fire reignited. Not in their pouring out of complaint to him did it burn. But when they ceased talking to or about him, when they were silent and they listened and the word of God was given to them, their hearts burned. Is your heart hearing God at all this morning? This morning, listen, God is speaking to your hearts. He is holding up his hands that still carry the scars. This Easter 2018. God has brought you here to this place this morning because you have prayers before God that are still waiting answers. You're doubting if God knows. You're doubting if God cares, and maybe you've lost all hope. His answer to you personally is this: trust Him. He's always working. He will answer your prayer. He has been working, and He absolutely loved you so much that He died for you. Don't lose hope. He is still the God of miracles. The prophet Habakkuk said, Lord, show me what you're doing, because I can't see you doing anything good for our nation Israel. And God said to Habakkuk, the prophet, if I show you, you won't believe me. He said, no, show me. So God revealed to him how he's using the Babylonians to punish the nation Israel, to turn their hearts back to him. And Habakkuk said, you're not doing that, are you? That's a terrible thing to do. You see, we can't comprehend. How often as little kids can't comprehend why you mum, dad do something? You just got to trust me. This Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, God wants to reignite your heart. He wants to fan the embers within your soul that are but dimly smoldering. Some of you are here because you went to Sunday school as a kid. And you heard the story. But between there and now, it's been a long road of losing hope. That fan of God just wants to bring His breath into your life and restore you to trust Him. How was it that Jesus reignited these two men's hearts? He used His word. We call it the Bible. He could have given them some new revelation, but He didn't. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning Himself. If Jesus Himself, who is the Word, then goes to the Word and shares the word, do you think the Bible is important for you and I? It is, because the Bible says, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Each day that you neglect the Bible, you get skinny spiritually. You begin to die spiritually. You get grumpier. You get angrier. You get more anxious, more fearful. But the more you're in the word replaces the way that you used to live and act, because it tells you the truth that God is in control, that God does love you, to keep on praying, that He is working, that He can work miracles. In verse 32, they said, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the scriptures? He reminded them of what they already knew. What do you know? Everyone knows John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes, that's all you have to do, believes in Him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus didn't say, you have to wear a white shirt, ride a bike, and knock on people's doors. Jesus didn't say, you've got to get a haircut. This is how you come to know and be a good person. Jesus didn't say, you have to give up this, this, and this to get to heaven. Jesus says, you just simply believe on Him who died on the cross. And that's why people turn their backs on Christianity. Well, there must be more that I've got to do. Surely I've got to, you know, clean myself up. No, 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 you can't clean yourself up. You're a mess anyway. I mean, I'm one of those persons that I can put on a really good suit and it still looks like a pair of overalls. God doesn't. You see, Jesus reminded them of what they already knew. I'm reminding you today, God's reminding you that He loves you, that He is powerful and that He's alive. I've stood in the tomb. It's empty. There is no grave. The world's trying to find it. There is no grave. The man who's made more impact upon our planet than anybody else, do you think they know where he is if he's buried? Absolutely. The atheists and agnostics have been digging for years. It's empty. You see, the two needed to look past their present circumstances and remember his promises. They had the message of the resurrection right under their noses, but they failed to believe it. Well, the women had gone there. They said he's empty, the tomb was empty. Then others had said, but notice they had ignored all this. How many times that you've maybe wondered, well, God, I want you to speak to me. God's been talking to you day in and day out. Someone coming past and someone ringing you and someone just saying, I'm praying for you. And you've just gone, I wish God would speak to me. God's going, how many more people do I have to send across your path? Is God trying to get your attention this morning? They simply chose to not believe what they had heard. We've had deferred promises, delayed answers, dismaying circumstances, and we close with dependable promises. Well, Keith, give me a miracle, I'll believe. I've heard that. In this room, we have a myriad of miracles. I want you to stand up and sit down if God's done a miracle in your life. Really quickly. Just stand up, sit down. Stand up, sit down. Sit down. Wow. Well, if God would just do one miracle, and they're under our nose. You see, our world's calendar, its system is based upon the event of Jesus' death and resurrection, 2018 AD, Anno Domini. Yet they've removed that now, haven't they? The year of our Lord. The angel Gabriel said to Mary, just a kid, a young girl, 12 to 14 years of age, a virgin, in answering her question, how's she going to fall pregnant when she has never been with a man? Mary, the angel said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. The impossible happened. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said he would. What does it mean to you today, this morning? It means that the impossible in your life, the things that you've resigned yourself to never change, never be possible, cannot happen, need not be so. What do you mean, Keith? There is hope for you today. I mean your marriage, which you think is over, it can be saved. I mean that your son or daughter who seems to have written you off, shut you out, that love can be ignited again. I mean that the hurts you've suffered, they can be healed. Really? Yes. I mean that the trial that you find yourself in, like no other you've ever faced, Jesus promises to get you through. I mean that you can be forgiven of all your sins and all your guilt be removed. All of it. Why can I say this? And how can I say this? What proof? Because Jesus rose from the dead. That's the proof. It's the exclamation mark on what I say, I do. I'll die, and in 3 days, I'll rise from the dead. Death, the absolute enemy of all mankind, whose power and agony had held all captive. Its power was forever broken. Its fear upon man's heart was smashed into oblivion, for Jesus rose from the dead, and we call that day Easter Sunday. How we thank God, Paul says, who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want our worship team to come forward as I just tidy this final bit up. Please hang with me. The Bible tells us that after Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, that he sat at the right hand of the Father to intercede and answer our prayers as he said he would. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Jesus said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, the writer of Hebrews says of Jesus, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you need grace and mercy? Tell you what, you know how often I go to the throne? Every day. You know why I need the mercy and grace? Because I don't like who I am apart from God. I don't like the way I say things, the way I think things at times. I go, oh God, I need to come to you. I need to get back to the cross. God, help me to change from who I am, to be the person you want me to be. I see the impossible happening all the time. 2,000 years ago, the impossible happened. Jesus rose from the dead. And the impossible continues to be done if you'll just believe. God has not finished his work in your life. How can these things be? Mary, the mother of Jesus, said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want to make a prayer with you today to pray with you. If you've maybe given up on God, maybe you were with God when you're a kid, then a teenager, and then something happened. Maybe you did something or someone did something to you. But somewhere on the line you've turned and you're on the road to Emmaus. And you just, it's done. God's dead. I want you to pray this prayer if you've heard God speak to you and the fan of God's breath has began to ignite your heart. God wants to bring life to you today. Pray with me. All heads down and eyes closed. Pray this prayer. Repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I am sorry for my sin. I repent of it. Turn to you by faith right now. I thank you for dying on the cross for me, paying the price for all my sins. I ask you to come into my life right now and be my Savior. Restore my hope. Be my Lord and my friend. Fill me now, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Help me to be your disciple from this moment forward. And I thank you, Lord, for the miracle you're going to do in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to tell someone you prayed that prayer. I'd like to hear it from you. And we'd love to give you a brand new Bible to take home. Maybe you, as I said, as a young kid, as a teenager, you went to youth group, you went to Sunday school, but today God's brought you back. I want to give you a Bible. Because two disciples on the road to Emmaus were gone. They were shot. But Jesus went after them. And God's come after you today. And he's wanted to know what things in your life made you lose hope. And he introduces himself to you again today and says, trust me. Trust in my word. Trust in my promises. If that's you today, we'd love to pray with you and give you a Bible. Let's stand and worship the Lord.